From the Diocese of Gallup, welcome to Crozier Cast. I'm Communications Director Suzanne Hammonds, and as always with me is your host, Bishop James Wall. How are you today, Bishop?
I'm doing well, Suzanne. How are you?
Very good. Looking forward to Lent this year, which is our topic. It's coming up fast.
I love it when it's early.
Yeah, you were saying earlier you like...
I enjoy it. The earlier for me, the better.
Yeah?
I just enjoy it. I don't know why that is. I think it's helpful for me because my favorite time of the year and season of the year is Christmas,
yeah,
by far.
Yeah.
And then when it goes away, it's always a really sad time for me. So I'm glad that Lent's starting, a little quicker this year than it has in past years.
Yeah, it's kind of funny going from like a celebratory season to of a penitential season, although they're both penitential in a way, aren't they? Advent is,
uh-huh. They both are, and that the color tells us that, yeah. Too. Yeah, they both have a penitential nature to them, more so in Lent, but also in Advent, too. I always tell people it's good to maybe add a little penance or a little bit of a, almost do it like a mini, or a light Lent for Advent.
Yeah.
Maybe give up something to help you to focus on what it is that you're actually preparing for, which is the birth of our Savior.
And what do you recommend? What are some good steps that you recommend that people take to have a good Lent, to make the most out of it?
I'd say one of the things I always say to make sure that you do is plan. You know, we have three things that we do: prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. And it's good to start thinking about those things now and not wait until Ash Wednesday or the first Sunday of Lent, and to really plan. So, you know, we want to look at the things that, you know, in terms of prayer, fasting, almsgiving. Those are all important things that help us to not so look inward on ourselves, but really help us to love the Lord and our neighbor as ourselves. So I think that's a real key thing to do. One thing that I know this year, my scripture, I try to take a book from scripture and read it a little, you know, give a little more into it, I guess. And this year I'm going to do the book of Job.
Mm.
I've never done that one for Lent. But for some reason it keeps popping up and coming back over and over and over. I saw the movie The Shift, which was put out by Angel Studios,
mm,
which is a modern adaptation of the book of Job, which is really good. Highly recommend it. Very, very good. And then it's been coming up, and we just had the reading from Job the other day too on Sunday, and so I thought, well, it keeps popping up. I think maybe this is what the Lord wants me to look into. So I'm really excited about reading that, and then excited all to see what the grace that the Lord wants to give me coming out of that. So I think that's a good thing to do for people, to maybe identify a book of the Bible, and say I'm going to read this slowly, maybe do a little study, use a little commentary along with it, and again, see what gift the Lord wants to give you for doing that.
Yeah. Yeah, that brings up an interesting point. So I had a friend who comes from a very strong Protestant background who asked to go to Sunday Mass with me, and that was one of the things that struck him about the readings is the book of Job. And he kind of struggles with that a bit because he said his thing was it makes it sound like the church is pushing guilt. And would you say that that's the point when we go into Lent? Are we made to feel guilty or sinful or unworthy, that kind of a thing?
Well, if we've sinned and we feel guilty, guilt's a good thing,
yeah,
right? It can, yeah, it can move us out of our sin or move us out of our mark, and it can move us to contrition. But I think that's kind of like a popular understanding.
Yeah.
People like to refer to things Catholic guilt,
yeah,
you know, like,
yeah,
it's a thing, you know, like we have the we have the market cornered on it or something. But guilt's not a bad thing. Guilt can move us out of sin, can snap us, wake us from a slumber, or get us out of our bad behavior, or kind of like putting the paddles to us, and it can move us to contrition, which is a good thing, right?
Yeah. And I think it can't be divorced from the idea of grace, which is a big part of Lent, right?
Yeah.
The fact that we're all looking forward to redemption.
Yeah. Yeah,
from Christ. Yeah,
yeah, we're going to hear some great readings during the Lenten season, and I would say on Sundays especially to think that the whole goal It's the same goal that our Lord had, right? For this reason I came into the world, to suffer, to die, and to rise on the third day. So the whole goal for us really is to keep our sights firmly set on Jesus and on the cross. Yeah.
So you mentioned the three pillars, you know, prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. What would be a good example of a fast? Would it be, oh, you know what, I want to lose some weight, so it's convenient that Lent is coming in with this, so I'm going to give up sweets, you know?
I think that's a good idea. Yeah, yeah. People, especially if you're a bit of a sugar hound, if you like the sweets, that's a good thing, because, yeah, you know, you're denying yourself is what you're doing. But also there's a benefit that comes from that too. You know, maybe help you with your weight or help you get in better shape, or, you know, people always talk about sugar causes all sorts of inflammation too.
Yeah.
And so that's not a bad thing. There are a number of things that I do during Lent, but I'll tell you one of the things I do that I picked up from my very first pastor, Father Chuck Kiefer, at St. Teresa Parish back in 1998. And he would always fast from, or abstain, I guess, from alcohol. Hmm. Mm-hmm. And I said, that's a good idea. And so I've done that every year since I've been ordained. That's always a thing. And even sometimes I do it during Advent. I did it this past Advent too. Like I said, there's a penitential nature to it, so you can do that as well. So that's one of the things. I think you want to make sure that you're also realistic in the things that you do give up. I mean, that's something that's possible. I remember one year when I was a pastor in Phoenix, and I was telling people about, you know, what are you going to give up for Lent? And I usually do it the Sunday before. And I just said, you know, be very realistic. And I just told them how the year before, how I failed miserably, mm-hmm, that I was going to give up TV. And I was giving up TV and giving up TV. And that year, the Arizona Wildcats had a particularly good basketball team. I think they went to the Elite Eight or the Final Four. I can't remember that year. And all I know is that they got upset by University of Illinois. I'll never forgive Darren Williams. I think that was his name for doing that to us. But I remember when March Madness came around, I failed miserably.
Yeah.
I failed miserably. And thankfully, I gave up some other things too, but I thought I didn't have it in me. You know, I just didn't have it in me.
That was me one year with coffee, because I think I went cold turkey, and that's real tough, you know. And so, if somebody fails, or if they feel like maybe they forget, to pick up something, is it okay that they're gonna just still try to do their best, you know, even if you relax, you go a little bit easier, or you just use maybe. You don't think about what you're going to give up for half of Lent. You realize, oh man, I haven't thought of anything. Is it okay to
pick up halfway through?
Yeah.
Sure, absolutely. Or if you find that you accidentally fall, you know, get back on the horse and continue on. And that's something. So maybe if for some reason, accidentally or even on purpose, you broke your fast, it's not bad for you to say, well, I'm going to recommit myself to it, rather than just kind of throwing your arms up in the air and say, what's the use? Just recommit yourself to it.
And then what about almsgiving? What would be some good examples of that for people to try?
Well, I think every year the church gives an opportunity to say, okay, how am I contributing? How am I tithing? Like, am I tithing to my parish? Am I tithing to different charities? Am I giving of my own resources, right, my own treasure, to those who are in need? And so I think this is a great time to re-examine that, to say, have I been doing that? Okay, great, I want to continue to do that. But is the Lord calling me to give a little more? If I haven't been doing it, maybe this is the wake-up call. Say, I need to be doing these things. And again, all these movements, well, they're movements out beyond yourself, right? You know, so you're denying yourself when you're fasting or abstaining from something. If you're giving alms, what are you doing? You're concerned with somebody other than yourself, your neighbor, right? Everyone in the world is my neighbor. Mm-hmm. So those, you just look at what have I been doing with my resources, with my treasure, and to realize that, you know, all that I have, all that I'm able to, right, everything is a gift to me from God. And so, an imitation that I want to give my gift away to, in order to benefit others.
Awesome. And do you have any favorite, particularly to you, favorite prayers or scripture readings? Or you mentioned doing a book of the Bible. Do you have one, if somebody hasn't tried that before, that you recommend they start with?
Yeah, I would say start with one of the Gospels. Probably not John.
Yeah.
This is the year of Mark, so Mark would be a good year for this. And it's the shortest of all the Gospels. But I would say the Gospels. The words and deeds of our Lord, I'd say the Gospels are always something very, very good to do. Or maybe, you know, like with me, the book of Job kept coming up in different ways, and other people mentioned it. And so just last week I said, oh, that's it. And I was connecting to the dots, and I said, that's the one that I need to do this year. So maybe there is a book that it keeps getting mentioned to you, or people keep bringing up to you, and maybe that's the Lord's way of saying, I want you to read this. I think another great one to read, it's only five chapters, and you can read it slowly, is the letter of James. And the reason why, it's a pastoral letter. The epistle comes from James the Lesser, the first bishop of Jerusalem. And it's a pastoral letter, in other words, you know, how one ought to live. And so there's a lot of really good spiritual and practical advice in the letter of James. So I would say that would be another good one. But, you know, maybe even pray to the Holy Spirit and ask the Holy Spirit to show you what it is that you need to be reading. Awesome. But I take one book. That's what I'm doing. Just take one book. Don't try to kill yourself or, you know, to do a bunch of stuff. The other thing I do is, you know, I always do some sort of spiritual reading along with that. You know, whether it's a life of a saint or whatever. Somebody just recently gave me a book on Charles de Foucauld, and so that's going to be my reading for Lent. So scripture, and then the reading for that, and then you know, maybe if the rosary hasn't been a part of your prayer life, this would be a nice time to introduce it. Chapel of Divine Mercy, it's another one, nice time to introduce it. Daily Mass, the Daily Mass back in 1990 was what set me on the path that led to where I am today. Because when I started going to Daily Mass one Ash Wednesday, I've never stopped.
Yeah.
And out of that, I had these guaranteed encounters with the living Christ at Mass, their Lord in the Eucharist and in the Word. And that's where I was able to understand where He was calling me.
And you're also leading Stations of the Cross during Lent, and we'll put that information in the show notes. Is that a good prayer or something to attend?
Yeah, and a lot of places will do it on Friday nights. That's traditionally, because it's also Good Friday, the day, you know, they, that happens. So that's also the day when we pray the rosary, we pray the sorrowful mysteries. But yeah, I would say that's another thing. Yeah, we're going to do ours again every Wednesday night up at Sacred Heart Retreat Center at 6 o'clock. And we'll pray the Stations of the Cross. You don't have to do them publicly or, you know, Lord, liturgically, I guess. You can do them on your own too. You can do those reflections on your own. And there's a lot of great ones out. Kind of the classic one a lot of people like to use are the ones from Alphonsus Liguori. Those are the classic ones that people like to use. But there's all sorts of them.
I didn't realize there were different kinds of it.
Lots of them, yeah. Yeah. There's some great ones out there.
That's neat.
One of the best I've ever used, and I've never been able to find it, was when I was in the seminary, my first year, we would do Stations of the Cross on Wednesday evening, because on Friday we were out doing apostolic work, and every year a class was in charge of it. And one year my class was in charge, and I was the guy that it fell to. And I was digging around in the library at St. John's in Camarillo, and I found this old book of different Stations of the Cross. And I found one, it was the Stations of the Cross through the Eyes of the Blessed Virgin Mary.
Oh, wow.
And so I had to go through and kind of clean up some of the language a little bit. But I remember afterwards, I mean, classmates, other classmates, some of our professors. I remember one, Sister Cecilia in particular, came up to me, and some of them were just moved to tears. It was so beautiful. So there are all sorts of different ones out there that you can pray.
Many parishes even have like outdoor Stations of the Cross. Mm-hmm. So you can do a little walk by yourself or something, you know.
They do,
which is good. And then I think you've mentioned it many times before, but a good one is if people have a little, like a subscription, but a little bit of money in their subscription budget, the Magnificat is a good resource.
I love the Magnificat. Yeah. We're right now sitting here looking at this one, Lent 2004, from February 14th to March 31st. It's the Magnificat Lenten Companion. So I use the Magnificat every day for the daily scriptures. I mark it up, and I'll do all kinds of stuff, especially for homilies, daily homilies. But the Magnificat is just, I think, it's the best.
Well, they have like curated reflections from people, mm-hmm. From like saints throughout history and even modern theologians. You know, saints of the day that you've never heard of that are just fascinating. I mean, it's a really cool resource.
Yeah, I think they're the best.
Yeah. Awesome. All right. Well, is there anything else that you want to leave people with?
Yeah, it's an opportunity, and the Lord's given us the opportunity, and so don't let the opportunity pass by, and to see it really as the Lord is calling you into a deeper and more intimate union with Him. And what a great time for that is to do, and it's He's doing it as an act of love. Look at this year, Ash Wednesday, Lent begins on Valentine's Day,
yeah.
So that reminds us of love, and so the Lord has the a perfect love for all of us, and He's calling all of us into a deep and intimate relationship with Him. Try to make daily Mass if you can do. That's a really big one. That changed my life forever. That decision that I made changed my life forever.
Yeah, excellent. A good reminder for all of us. So, would you close us out with a prayer?
Sure. And may the Lord in His love and His mercy pour His Spirit upon you and bless you and keep you. May He continue to speak to your heart and enlighten your mind and draw you to a deeper and more intimate relationship with Him. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Excellent. All right. Thank you, Bishop Wall.
Thanks, Suzanne.